Let's get back on the air, and it's Friday, okay. Thursday morning, July 13th, in Mr. Lett's office. This is Evelyn Spears. I don't have any questions drafted, but last week when we were talking and stirring up these old memories, mm-hmm. and you were talking about people who are now have gotten to the top of the heap, like the fire chief and Abel Sykes and things like that, and that's sort of like a leap from none and to what at the, you know, to now people yeah. are at the yeah. top. Perhaps you could expand a little bit on some of the things that have happened in the intervening years, some of the landmarks on the way to getting people who are now at the top.
Well, the most, I think the most vicious thing that has appeared on the scene in the last 10 years since the so-called phrase equal opportunity is affirmative action, which is being misused by the system. The system at this time is beginning to find means to defeat and send the affirmative action into mothballs because the process by some people where it was used to recruit minorities, but then the chastising was they would never screen, nor if they brought them on, would not give them training. So they say we had one, and then 2 or 3 weeks or 4, they dismissed them or terminated them because they weren't able to, but yet they would play on the basis of numbers and say we had them. Then when you go back and review them on a work utilization report, they would not be there. And for whatever excuse they would give, they would say, well, we tried, but we couldn't find. The word goes back again to they always used to say before they started, we need qualified applicants. Mm-hmm. And I think there's games being played because unless you monitor that type of activities of those corporations who imply and perhaps have affirmative action plans or policies, sometimes they defer because what I'm experiencing in this day and time is the economic competition for jobs and the loss of jobs that we've had, like in Michigan, in the industry. And therefore, it throws a lot of unskilled people out there in the competition of jobs. There are many white-collared unemployed out there who are seeking jobs. And therefore, the affirmative action competition goes out the window with some corporations, because the people who are affected are cousins, uncles, and aunts, and relatives who are out of jobs, and then they will say affirmative action put them out of jobs. Mm-hmm. So they use that excuse to. It's a devious method to say that affirmative action.
Anything on there about the case you're talking about?
No. So in my years of looking at the progress we made. With no excuses to many corporations who have tried to make affirmative action work, and where I have witnessed minorities or the protected groups being hired, I am very proud to say we made a lot of progress. But there's much more to be made, because as we're talking now over the last 42 years of employment with the city, when I might have been one of the very few minorities in city employment outside those laborers they had out there, we did not have any professionals. And I can look back over our city when we didn't have any medical doctors or dentists. And I can look back over across the Capitol and they didn't have any professionals over there in the Capitol. But we've got them there and out to Michigan State. They've got also the schools in Lansing School District. No, there were not any black teachers that even when I came through school. So when you look at it now, there has been much progress, but needless to say, there's more to be made.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you see as, say, the future with the state? You said you've been with the city. You've been with the city for quite a long time. Are there a lot of black professionals in the system here with the city?
Oh, yes. We have two. We have 11 directors of departments, and we have three, four now, because of fire department chief. We have four. We have the personnel director, personnel training is black, female. Mm-hmm. We have the human resource director, black, female. We have the fire chief, black, male. And we have the director of human relations, which is myself, is a black male. So we have four.
Out of the 11.
Out of 11. Mm-hmm. That are, and plus we have the executive assistant, the mayor, which was never realized and see. Executive city manager, the mayor, is black.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have people who are under them who could come up through the system once you leave, or when as you move on to other things?
Well, the process of somebody coming up underneath them, probably in each one of those departments, may not have a minority, which is directly a deputy director. But there are people in those departments or other departments who may possess some of those abilities to go into those positions. Mm-hmm. For example, deputy director of personnel, which happened to be white, came out of this department over the years, and she went from this department up to mayor's office and then back to personnel. Mm-hmm. And the same thing could happen for any other person if they wanted to go to personnel black. Like in this department, I have some workers who have just a little less than their doctor's degree who could probably be eligible for a personnel director, assistant director spot. There are minorities in the fire department who perhaps could graduate just like the chief now was promoted from down. He'd come up through the ranks. Mm-hmm. And there are others in there that could probably be promoted through the ranks. Although in the fire department, police department, they're very strong seniority oriented in their rankings. Mm-hmm. So therefore, outside of the chief, which is an exempt position, is appointed by the mayor. Mm-hmm. So the mayor can pick, like he did in this case, pick out of the ranks mm-hmm. for a person to be chief.
Do most of the middle to higher management or administrative positions with the city require a higher degree, a college degree?
Many of them will require a master's or equivalent experience. I have, in this particular area, I have graduate studies. I do not have my master's, but one must be aware that this particular job, perhaps dealing with human relations and complaints and civil rights complaints, could necessitate a person who's worked in the field have an experience over and above a person who may have the book learning, because a lot of this is on hands efforts. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge, the legal knowledge one can obtain even by participating in the program. Mm-hmm. So any job like public service where naturally have an engineering degree or there are other skills. Now, the police department, over the years, you did not have to have an MBA, a master, but the ability to have academic training over and above like high school is necessary in some cases. So nothing in many of the jobs at City Hall would rule out a person not having a graduate degree.
Since I'm not very familiar with the structure of the city of Lansing government too much, about how many employees work for the city?
About 1,300. Well, I guess we're down 12 now. We've had a reduction of force over the last 2 years, so I think it's about 12-something, 12-5.
When they start recruiting to fill the positions, do they normally... For the middle or the upper management administrative positions, do they try and make it a widespread search, or is it mostly...
Yes. Our affirmative action is that they will go outside for those exempt positions, and naturally all department heads are appointed by the mayor and confirmed by council. In some cases, they have boards which will assist in the recruitment and also the interviewing, but the mayor is a final resource for appointing department head. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, they'll go outside to get a skilled person for that position if they do not have a candidate in-house as head. Experience that could move up from probably deputy director to department head. Mm-hmm. But most of the jobs are that are entry level jobs, and others are posted in in-house and out and outside. But we have a personnel policy that all jobs are posted in-house for 3 days, and if there's not a qualified applicant, then they go outside.
Mm-hmm. So if a qualified applicant was in-house, they might not feel it necessary to serve?
Well, if a qualified applicant was in-house, for what position?
A mid or upper level.
Well, we would never know because that's when they have to post it. If it's a mid or upper level, they have to post it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a skilled position like a department head or something like that, they'll go outside as well as post on the inside.
Okay, they would expand their applicant pool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that has happened. And especially in the where there appears to be a disparity in the upper class supervision, personnel finds it necessary to post both mm-hmm. at the same time rather than giving that 3-day post and then go outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the inside applicant must be considered first. 9 times out of 10, if it's an exempt position, you don't have to worry about the union, but if it's a union position, you must examine all qualified applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, if there's one that does not have all of the background necessary, why then they naturally have an opportunity to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 unions. At last not count, there were 7 unions in Sioux.
That's like the department I work in.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of unions.
Sure. So, like I spoke to you, asked me how many, and I think I just pulled a sheet off our last November count. We had 1201. Of course, we hire some employees, but we had 1201 employees.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a number of summer and part-time employees. They're not counted on the general count.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you think of any milestones in your career that you would like to share with us?
Well, I basically, as I have witnessed City Hall, I think that we have a decided change in attitude for looking at the desperate effect of minorities having been excluded over the many years, and we're getting personnel in our office is getting full cooperation for looking to minorities and the additional recruitment of minorities for positions. The police department is going out, and not only that, they are sponsoring minorities for the academy so they can be certified to be members of the police department, because we have a criteria. You must have 9 days credits, mm-hmm. and you also have to pass the police academy. Secondly, the fire department also is having individuals go to LCC for paramedic training, because that's one of the criteria that they need. And many minorities will not take the time to sacrifice to go to school because they don't think that the opportunities are open. So why should they go to school to get that training? And when the door is open, they're not available.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been that type of cooperation in the departments where they're, like the police department and the fire department, where there's known to be a big disparity because they have some of the largest forces of minorities
mm-hmm.
and women.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, women police officers has been not a very recognized fact throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 5-10 years, women are becoming more of a resource for recruitment than ever before for the police department, because they had some issues, had some very stereotypes on the woman's ability to perform as a police officer and also a fire person.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's many stereotypes and fire personnel having to stay in the same building over 24 hours, that may necessitate to make different accommodations for a female if they bring them on, because it's naturally sleep over.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of stigmas attached to those two all-male units. Of course, public service and others where they felt it, and parks and recreation, where they did not feel women could compete even as laborers with men. Mm-hmm. But that has changed, and they are bringing them in. Mm-hmm. So I witnessed a lot of the stereotypes and stigmas that was attached to and labeling that was attached to protected group members being waived because people were getting different attitudes, but it still hasn't erased a lot of the stereotyping.
In the state, one of the things they've done, especially in, say, corrections, Department of Corrections and Department of Transportation, is they have some close relationships, say, with LCC, to set up, say, if they see a need for a certain client or person, the LCC will provide the training.
Sure.
And is that the sort of relationship you have for, say, the fire department and police force?
Well, ours is that they have an academy down for the police department, and mm-hmm. naturally most police departments must have an officer, a person certified before they bring them on. Mm-hmm. And being minorities, it hasn't been that minorities have been taken into the police academy down there for whatever reason, because it is a sacrifice of additional training that maybe many of them didn't feel that they'd be hired. I don't know what the attitude was of why, but you take, for example, hotel restroom training, which we find when we're monitoring hotels. We don't find many minorities in the school, Michigan State, in hotel and restroom training, nor at LCC. Yet there's a great demand for minorities in hotel and restaurants, mm-hmm. and we do not find them. And the same thing with the police academy. For whatever reason, they will not go in law enforcement down or criminal justice. We don't know. But one of the things that there's not that many who are applying themselves for that skill because there's a sacrifice of that type of educational background. Many of them want to be teachers, doctors, lawyers, whatever, all the professional skills. And there is a tremendous demand for the individual who has that background, but the supply is not there.
Mm-hmm. Are you sometimes called upon to go out and do public speaking, say at the high school level?
Oh, definitely, or? Always. I'm not seeing demand. I'm taking a letter home here that just came in from. This is one of the things. My background, which I may be fortunate to relate, is that I came from a poor family. My family had to struggle, and I had to struggle as a kid. I was thrown into many juvenile problem areas that, with the strength and motivation of my family, I was able to persevere. And so when I am called to go to the jails or to juvenile homes or young people, I'm able to relate that I too experienced many social injustices and was angry at society, but I was able to survive because I wanted to make something of myself, and so therefore I can relate with young people. And this is a letter which came in from juvenile home. I go there about every 2 months to join because they have a turnover of young people. Sometimes there's repeaters out there, and I'm able to take my shirt and tie off and relate. One of the things you asked me about going to school, yes, I go to school and I have to change my hat. I have to be a different person. The type of person I am talking to school children is a much different person I am talking to adult, because adults sometimes have to be, I won't use the word brainwashed as much as retrain some of their stereotypes when they view, because when I go to an all-white audience, sometimes I can watch body language. There are still people who feel uncomfortable to have a black person talking to them mm-hmm. or talking down to them. I always try to talk with them and try to identify maybe some of their weaknesses and really relating with me and my problem. Because mm-hmm. one of the things I have, perhaps over and above some others, that I grew up in a white neighborhood, had to go across town to socialize with blacks, and I was molested by whites that live in the white neighborhood and also challenged and abused by blacks for having lived in a white neighborhood. So mm-hmm. I've had the best of both experiences, the white experience and the black experience. Although, and I have been identified as a white man's nigger, even here in City Hall, because I work here in the White Tower. But mm-hmm. when I go out on the street corner and relate to that individual standing out there, I take off my shirt and tie, mm-hmm. and I dress like that, and I can converse with them the same as I would with a policymaker. So when I have an opportunity to speak to groups, I can relate those individual experiences which I have suffered, the white experience and the black experience. I've gone to white schools and I've gone to black colleges. And I have been benefited by all those experiences. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the world that is more of one of my projects is United Negro College, because I believe most seriously that there are some blacks who will never attain educational credence going to a white school when they're put into a pool where they're just a number. Mm-hmm. And the need for the one-on-one is lost. You go to a black school, you have the personal identity, and that I can attune to because you know the professor knows you. You're able to share some of your common and personal experiences with a professor and their concern because they are black. But where you lose that relationship in a white university or college is that you're just there, and even though you're highly visible, you're still a number. Mm-hmm. And somehow they lose it. So therefore, I'm very supportive of the United Negro College, where we have some 42 black colleges, mm-hmm. universities under that particular umbrella. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a need for, as I say, for those individuals who have experienced the black experience to go back and become mentors for the young people, because like in this case here with the juvenile home, if those black and some of those deprived white, disadvantaged whites were there, cannot identify and they think you're speaking down to them, they don't hear you. Mm-hmm. But when you take your shirt and tie off and tell them, hey, you're one of them, and you've had problems too, but yet look where you are now. They can identify with that to a degree, although when you start talking, they start talking with you and expressing their barriers, and their mama don't care and their daddy don't care. Well, this guy, Mr. Letts, who took time out this evening, he cares. And that's important, to have somebody who cares, if it's just an outsider. But we need somebody to let young people know someone cares.
I believe you're also, in addition to the work, the letter was mentioning the Ingham County youth.
Yes.
I saw your name on a list working with another black mentoring group that was working with college students.
Forum.
It's called the Forum?
The Forum.
What, I don't know the background.
The Forum is made up of, and which I'm very fortunate to be a member of that, because I am a senior citizen, and most of those are all young, what we sometimes call buffies, mm-hmm. black urban professionals. Mm-hmm. And they are young men who have attained success and are in state government, many of them in state government, others in some of the city areas. But there are a couple of doctors and a minister. But they have obtained professional status, and they're fairly young. I believe Ernie Brown, myself, happened to be the most senior citizen. Ernie Brown, Vice President of Michigan National. And I do believe that the two of us are the most senior of the group. But we mingle with them, associate with them, and our premise is to serve as mentors too. And the group you saw that perhaps the list, and just recently they gave a little social for those young people who are interning in the state and other groups here in Lansing, that are coming from the colleges out, and they're doing some intern work in the different units, like Department of Transportation has a number, and mm-hmm. and intern over many of them. But anyhow, this group serves as a reference group to one another to share job openings, to discuss potential responsibilities in the community. They have not become political, but they're perhaps a viable resource in our community, which is new, in fact.
How old is the Forum group?
It can't be much over 3 or 4 years old. A fellow by the name of Ulysses Hammond started. He was a director in the court system here, and he's now gone to Washington, D.C., and he's the district director in He's a director of the court system, judicial system in the District of Columbia now.
Mm-hmm. Of is he all the courts.
I don't know whether he's an attorney or whether he has a skill in just administrative services, but mm-hmm. he's an administrator, court administrator, mm-hmm. over all the courts in District of Columbia. And he was very instrumental in drawing this group of young black professionals together. Mm-hmm. And all of them have a common cause of being closely associated age-wise and in the system. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very educational group, mm-hmm. in view of the fact we share a lot of the pros and cons and some of the pitfalls that we expect. We have Roger Groves, who's a tribunal judge, tax tribunal judge, mm-hmm. and we've got Pitt, who's an attorney. We have a number of Larry Wilhite, who had the attorney for the Board of Water and Light, is now the new coordinator, you might say. He's over here at the Board of Electric Light and Water, and he's an attorney. Mm-hmm. But all of them have titles that would choke you if you really mm-hmm. spell them out. Many in the educational, state educational department, mm-hmm. Department of Education. But that's the group you might be speaking to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think perhaps we better stop here so you can get ready for your meeting with the mayor.